Today on the Wisdom Journey, Stephen will remind you that the only valid source of information about the future is God's Word. We're in 2 Thessalonians today. There was confusion among the Thessalonians about the end times. Paul clears it up, explaining that the rapture and tribulation are still in the future. False teachers had claimed that the tribulation had already begun. It hasn't. Join Stephen to uncover the truths about these future events.
During the Middle Ages, a curvature of the spine that created a hunched back was considered a mark of psychic powers. People who suffered from this were supposed to be able to, well, they could see into the future. Well, as medicine advanced, the world came to understand that a hunched back had nothing to do with psychic powers. But that myth reflected an expression that lingers to this day in the English world, where we still call a sense of some future event a hunch. So we say, you know, I've got a hunch something's going to happen. Well, let me tell you, the only valid source of information about the future is God's Word. As we set sail today into the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul isn't telling us that he's got a hunch about the future. He's revealing inspired truth from God. Now, first, Paul has to clear up some confusion among his readers concerning future events that he's already discussed. His readers' confusion is reported here now in verses 1 and 2. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. You might remember that Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians was where he described the rapture. That's the Lord's coming in the clouds to raise the bodies of deceased believers first, reuniting them with their spirits, which have been with the Lord after their death, immediately after their death, and then rapturing, literally snatching upward, all the believers who are still alive. All of us will be taken up and away with Christ to heaven before the time of tribulation on earth. Now, Paul assures them that these two events, the rapture of the church and then the tribulation period on earth, well, they're still in the future. To this day, beloved, neither one of those two events have happened. Now, here's the problem. Since Paul's first letter, the Thessalonians had been influenced by those who were teaching, well, that the day of the Lord had already come, that the trials they were experiencing in life, well, that's the tribulation. The tribulation period has arrived. Now, Paul says here that this false teaching might have come by a spirit or a spoken word, that is, somebody claiming some word from God. Or he says here in verse 2 that the teaching, well, it might have come from a letter that it appeared to be from us, one of the apostles. Well, perhaps somebody wrote a letter, claimed it was from Paul, saying that the tribulation had already begun, and this could have then created great confusion. And as you can imagine here, Paul wasn't too happy about that letter that had been forged. Well, he begins to offer inspired correction. First, he emphatically declares that this is deceptive teaching. Second, he explains why the tribulation has not yet begun. Now, it'll be helpful for us to just sort of pull over here for a moment and review what Paul taught in his first letter, 1 Thessalonians, there in chapters 4 and 5. First, he taught that the rapture comes before the tribulation and delivers believers from the wrath of God. Second, the day of the Lord is a phrase used for the tribulation, not for suffering in general. Yes, these Thessalonians are suffering here, but this is not the end times judgment of God upon earth. In the book of Revelation, beginning with chapter 6, John the Apostle describes that tribulation period, a time of global terror, global war, global pandemics, water turned into blood that kills a third of the earth's population. Well, that kind of divine judgment, that kind of suffering, well, that hasn't occurred yet on planet earth. Now, here in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, Paul gives some proofs why the day of the Lord, the tribulation, has not yet begun. Now, the first proof given here in verse 3 is that before the arrival of the day of the Lord, the tribulation, the rebellion comes. The Greek word for rebellion is apostasia, from which we get our word apostasy. It refers to a falling away from the faith. Now, every generation has seen professing Christians walk away from Christ, revealing they weren't Christians after all. But Paul refers here in verse 3 to a global, a rather massive apostasy that's going to take place around the time of the rapture. It's going to open the door to the introduction of the man of lawlessness, Paul writes, this son of destruction. Well, we know him as the Antichrist. Paul describes him here in verse 4. He opposes and exalts himself against every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Well, you'll notice from this that he's going to declare his deity in the temple of God. Well, there's no temple in Jerusalem today, but a temple is going to be rebuilt during the tribulation. We know that because Scripture reveals that the Antichrist will defile that temple as he declares himself to be God. Paul writes here, he's going to take a seat in the temple declaring his deity. This act is referred to as the abomination of desolation in both Daniel and the Gospel of Matthew. Paul writes here now in verse 5, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things?" Now, he's giving the Thessalonians here just a mild rebuke. They should have held on to his sermon notes. Well, here's what Paul is reminding them of. He's proving this. These believers cannot be experiencing the tribulation because the Antichrist, well, he's not been revealed yet. And beloved, he's not going to be revealed until the tribulation begins. And by then, the church is gone. So any preacher who claims to know who the Antichrist is, well, he's either a false teacher or a misguided deceiver who's trying to sell you more books. Well, now here in verse 6, Paul explains why the Antichrist hasn't been revealed yet. He's being restrained, Paul writes, so that he may be revealed in his time. Well, in other words, it's not time yet, according to the plan of God. But in the meantime, Paul writes here in verse 7, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Well, and that's very true. Wickedness is at work now. But the final representative of wickedness, the Antichrist, he's not been revealed yet. There is restraint of evil taking place on earth today. Now, that raises an obvious question. Who or what is the restrainer? Now, there are a lot of opinions out there, but I only have time to give you the right one. Here it is. Since the one who restrains the Antichrist must be more powerful than the Antichrist and Satan, who empowers him, well, the simplest answer is that the restrainer must be the Spirit of God. But in what sense is the Holy Spirit, as Paul writes here in verse 7, taken out of the way? Well, beloved, at the rapture, the church is removed from the earth. That means that all believers who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, well, they're taken away. They're taken out of the way. Now, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is going to be removed from the earth. The Spirit of God is omnipresent. But the Spirit's unique restraining influence through you as a believer, well, that's going to be removed. It's going to be like a power outage in a major city today. What happens when the lights go out? Looting, burning, killing, all manner of wickedness is going to literally explode within a matter of hours on planet Earth. Well, now with that, Paul writes here in verse 8, then the lawless one will be revealed. So here's the timeline, beloved. First, the church is raptured. Then the tribulation begins. The Antichrist is then revealed with great power. Verse 9 says, with false signs and wonders. And let me tell you, he's going to perform miracles and the world is going to fall at his feet. On those who accept him, his leadership, verses 11 and 12 tell us that God is going to send a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false and be condemned. Of course, we also know that many will believe in Christ during these days. Now, none of these events have yet occurred for the Thessalonians or for you and me today. And that's good news if you haven't yet believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What this means is that you've been given just a little more time to be saved. I want to encourage you today, if you haven't already, to ask Christ to save you. Why wait? Why risk everything, especially eternity? Run to the safety of salvation today through Jesus Christ alone. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. I hope today's lesson brought you some reassurance about the future. The rapture and tribulation are still to come. The Antichrist hasn't been revealed yet. The Holy Spirit is still working through the church. This is all good news for you. There's still time to turn to Christ. Don't wait. Trust Him today and find assurance in His salvation. In addition to our daily Bible lesson, we offer a resource to deepen your faith journey, Heart to Heart, our monthly devotional magazine. Each issue tackles a relevant topic, providing biblical insights and practical applications for your life. Have you wondered about the reality of hell or the origins of the universe? We've explored those and other thought-provoking questions. Past issues have covered sharing your faith, the problem of evil, fatherhood, friendship, angels, marriage, happiness, and even politics. But Heart to Heart isn't just about exploring these big ideas. It includes a daily devotional guide designed to keep you connected to God's Word and nurture your spiritual growth. This valuable resource is our gift to Wisdom Partners, and we'd love to share it with you. We'll send you 3 issues as our gift. Simply visit wisdomonline.org and find the sign-up link on the homepage. Or if you prefer a personal touch, give us a call at 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. We're eager to chat, answer any questions you may have, and introduce you to this enriching resource. Call today, then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.